like to follow along, the scripture reading this evening will come from Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord.
Certainly good to be here tonight, and certainly good to have each one of you present. Those obvious members of the church have been faithful and to attend. As I said on Sunday, we'll have a good meeting if those of you members of the church will just be faithful and attend like you should. I sometimes think that we use the word faithful in an unusual manner. We sometimes say that a person is faithful if he attends Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Sunday night. What that really means is the fact that they're dependable. It takes a great deal more than that to be faithful to God. And so we need to understand that that's not what we describe as faithfulness. Faithfulness is following God's commands and doing what God has asked us to do. In Lamentations, he mentioned the fact that our God is faithful. We understand that if he is faithful, that we are, as mentioned in 2 Peter 1 and about verse 3, that we are to be partakers of his divine nature. If God is faithful, then we should desire to be like him, and we should be faithful. God certainly is the definition for faithfulness. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, we notice that God called Abraham. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God made a promise to Abraham, and the Bible from one end of it to the other shows how faithful God was to that promise. In Genesis 18, again, he mentioned the fact, listen, 18, 17 through 19. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children after him, and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring up on Abraham that which he's spoken of him. God certainly made some promises to Abraham. Again in the 15th chapter, as we back up in verse 13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now he said to Abraham, don't misunderstand that you're going to have to wait a long time for the promise to be fulfilled. That they're going into Egypt, they're going to be there 400 years, and then I'm going to call them out. God, 400 years later, is certainly faithful to do exactly what he said he's going to do. We remember the burning bush, and we remember Moses. Moses going over to the burning bush and see why it was not consumed. And God told him that he's going to send him down into Egypt to lead his people out. And Moses made every excuse that he could make. In other words, not me, understanding that he had to leave Egypt. He had to run from it for his life. And now God's going to send him back. And he said, not me, because I'm not a spokesman. I can't speak. And he said, I'm the God that made the mouth and the ear. Don't worry about that. Aaron, your brother, will be your spokesman. And you'll be unto him a God, and to Pharaoh as a God. And again, Moses didn't want to go, and he indicated that God ought to send somebody else. And God said to Moses, I will be with thee. Friends, what else should we desire? We read so many times that God says, I will be with thee. We read in the Hebrew letter in verse 5, he said, I will never forsake thee nor leave thee. God has not turned his back upon his promise, and he remembers that. And as we begin to notice in verse 14 of Exodus 4, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. What is God telling Moses? I'm going to be with you, and I am in control. Aaron's coming, and Aaron's going to be glad when he finds out what's going to take place. God is in control. Again in Exodus 13 and verse 14, after God proved to the Egyptians that he was with Moses, that he's with the children of Israel, that he was in opposition to all the gods of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and that all the miracles that he performed and the plagues, and then leads them out through the Red Sea. Then Exodus 13 and verse 14, it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this that thou shalt say unto him? By the strength of hand of the Lord brought us out from Egypt and from the house of bondage. We're observing the Passover because God, when we put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And you tell your sons, never forget it. You relate to them what God has done for you, how that you were slaves in Egypt, and God was with you and delivered you. Tell it to your children. And tell your children to tell it to their children so that everybody will remember it. But all they were delivered. And then in Numbers 13, they went to spy out the land and they came back. And some of them said, it's a beautiful place. It's the land that flows with milk and honey like God said. And look at the cluster of grapes that we brought back. But they have walled cities. In Egypt, they weren't accustomed to walled cities. And said they're giants, they're great men. And we are but grasshoppers in their sight. The thing that they had forgotten is what God told Moses. I will be with you. And finally in Exodus 13 and verse 14, or Exodus 13, Numbers 13 and 30, I'll get it right in a minute. Caleb us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. Not only let us go up, but let us go up at once. We are able, leaning on God and on His promises. But the man that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. And we're but grasshoppers in their sight. You ever get the grasshopper complex? That what can I do for the Lord? You'd be surprised what you could do for the Lord if you tried. I was telling some of them the other day that there's a little old church over in Polkton, North Carolina. There was a man working at a sawmill from Mac Menville. His mother was a Church of God preacher. And he hadn't been a member of the church very long. And he knew less about the Bible than anybody that I knew. But he talked to a man at the sawmill and said, would you be interested in a Bible study? And he said, yes. He said, the preacher and I'll be down and have Bible study week. And we did. And he had his mother and his father there and his wife and children. And said, can you come over to the Methodist church and have these Bible studies? I said, yes. We had three Bible studies there, and before they ran me out. That man and his wife became a Christian, and other people in the community became Christians. And the man that had less knowledge of the Bible, less talent than anybody I know, it all fell upon his shoulders, because one day at a sawmill, he said, would you like to have a Bible study? Do we have the grasshopper complex? Friends, if God is going to be with us, and He promised us that He would, we'd be amazed what we are able to do. And God let that generation die off and carried the next generation into the land of promise. And you read the book of Joshua, and it's a wonderful book. It's just thrilling to see how that Joshua and Caleb followed the Lord. And then Joshua's dead, and the people that were with him died off, and that generation was gone. And you begin in the book of Judges. It's a sad book. Also, that generation was gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord, nor the works which He'd done in Israel. Another generation, that's all you need. Just one generation that's not taught, that don't know the Lord and don't remember what the Lord has done. Friends, I think we're seeing that in our nation as we see corruption follow corruption. That's what happens when we don't do what God has asked us to do. But in the midst of all of that, God never forgot. The end of the judges, they came and asked Samuel, said, your sons walk not in your ways. Give us a king that we might be like the other nations round about us. Samuel went to God, and God said to Samuel, Samuel, they did not reject thee, but they rejected me that I should not rule over them. God said, I'll give them a king. You explain what the king's going to do, and he did. But they wanted a king. And God gave them Saul, and after Saul, David, and then Solomon. Each one of them reigned for 40 years, and at the end of 120 years, that was the end of the United Kingdom. Things began to fall apart. The death of Solomon, in fact, during the lives of Solomon, during his life, things began to go bad. He married a bunch of strange women. They had an influence on him. And God God gave the 10 tribes to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And that's what is called Israel during the divided kingdom. And Judah was given to Rehoboam, Solomon's sons. Now why do you think all this happened? God never forgot the promise that he made. Listen, 2 Kings 20 and verse 6. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, talking to Hezekiah, I will deliver thee in the city out of the hand of king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. God's faithfulness to David. David is described as a man having a heart like God's. Oh, he's a man, he made mistakes. But God said, I can't forget David. I'll deliver you for his sake. Again, he mentioned that in 1 Kings 15 and 4. Isaiah mentions again in 35 and 37 and 35. Listen to it. He said, I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. God's faithfulness to David because of David's faithfulness to God. Just think about how faithful God is. In Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, listen again. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. How do you describe God? The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. God is faithful. Need to think about that over and over again. We go to Jeremiah 31 and 31. And Jeremiah said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. What had they done? They had broken God's law. They had broken his commandments. But who is God? God is still faithful. They've been unfaithful. God is still faithful. Now watch him again. He said, but this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I shall be their God and they shall be my people. All the days going to come. God's faithful to Abraham. I haven't forgotten Abraham. They've broken my covenant. I was faithful to them. They've been unfaithful to me. But the day is going to come, as he mentioned in the second chapter, going to make a new covenant with them. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. Now think about that. As we go back now to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, I remember a verse that Jack came up to me tonight and said, I've just about got it finished. That's just wonderful. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, we get in trouble when we think we know what God's like. The only thing we know about the nature of God's in this book. And we need to keep that in our mind continually. God is a faithful God. Even when people are He does not forget the promise that he made. Now, who are we? In James 2 and verse 21, James says, was not it our father Abraham? Who is he? Oh, we came from Abraham. When you open the book, the New Testament, Matthew 1, the first thing we learn about Jesus, he's the son of David, the son of Abraham. God keeps his promise. We're here tonight because of the promise that God made to Abraham. Was not Abraham our father, justified by works when he'd offered Isaac his son upon the altar? We're here because of God's faithfulness. Again in Galatians 3 and verse 29, he said, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, according to the promise. God never forgot. God held on to that promise, and God always has held on to his promises. In Psalms 89, 1 and 2, we notice again the faithfulness of God. Listen to him as we turn and read. Psalms 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known his faithfulness to every generation. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall be established in the heavens. God's faithfulness. Now, if God is faithful, and certainly he is, how does God look at unfaithfulness? If you haven't had Gary Henry to come and relate the story of how it feels for a wife to be unfaithful, you need to have him. I'll tell you, it's amazing the hurt that man went through when his wife walked off and left him with two little children. Now that's exactly what God wanted Israel to understand. There's a prophet by the name of Hosea, and he told Hosea what he was to do. He said, you go and marry a woman of fornication or adultery, a woman of harlotry, and have children by her. And the land hath committed great adultery and fornication in departing from the Lord. Hosea, I want you to teach Israel. I want them to look at you and to know how I feel when I've been married to Israel and they've been unfaithful to me. And so he had a son. And he said, as a result of that, he said, I'm going to pour out my slaughter upon a people because of their sins. They've been unfaithful to me. Then he had a daughter and named her, I will have no mercy. I'll have no mercy. The Syrians are going to take Israel to the north. The Babylonians are going to take Judah. I'll have no mercy. Gomer has been unfaithful to Hosea, just like you've been unfaithful to me. Then the third child was born. And this time God said, you're not my people. Oh, you were my people, but you've become unfaithful. You've gone through that cycle during the days of the judges where that you would sin and I'd raise up a little nation and they'd put their foot on your neck and you'd cry to me and you'd repent and I'd restore you again. They went through that cycle a number of times in the book of the Judges, over and over and over. But God never forgot the promise he made to oneness by swearing, lying, killing, stealing, and committed adultery. God said, that's what you've done against me. Look at Hosea. Where's it going? I don't know of a thing in the world that would hurt more than to be married to a woman and she be unfaithful to you. Or for you as a woman to be married to a man and he's unfaithful to you. Secretary one time at school was talking, and I told her our principal was having an affair with another woman. This was his second wife he was cheating on. And I told her, I said, I'd rather be dead than to look my wife in the face and tell her I've been unfaithful to her. I'd rather be dead than look into my son's eyes and tell him I've been unfaithful to your mother. I'd rather be dead than look into my three daughters' face and say, I've been unfaithful to your mother. Friends, I don't think we know what it's like to be unfaithful to a mate. But what's it like to be unfaithful to God? Who is that faithful God who promised that he'd be with us always through the end of the world? What's it like? I don't think in the church we've talked and dealt with the fact of what unfaithfulness is like to see people turn their back upon the Lord and turn and go into the world. In the fourth chapter in verse 16, he said, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. That meant there's going to be no pasture. That's what happened. Oh, do we understand what it's like when we turn our back upon Almighty God and we're not faithful to Him as we ought to be, that faithful God. But I want you to think about it as we turn over to the 12th chapter. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. God is faithful. We need to remember, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. The faithful God demands faithfulness of us. Otherwise, we're not a part of His divine nature. We're not putting off the world and putting Him on. He said, love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life is not of Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. A faithful God demands faithfulness of us. You know the least you can do for the Lord is to attend three services a week. And you know, with a lot of people, they think they've really done something. Friends, that's the least you can do. boss said, you'll never be called on to work on Sunday. And the same man that told me that story said, members of the church have lined up to work on Sunday to get double time. Our faithful God demands faithfulness of us. And brethren, we better wake up and realize that and do what we can to serve our God and to go home to be with Him. Those of us as members of the church need to understand that. John said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Watch that word again. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's to those who remember the church. We need to confess our sins, admit our weakness for our own good, for our own soul, and for our own mentality. I watched a woman a number of years ago in Pennsylvania. Began to have some mental problems, and Dr. Strawberry there in Pittsburgh said one of the first signs of mental illness is when people start thinking too much of themselves. Isn't that what Jesus said? If any man come after me, let him deny himself. That's for our health. That's for our mental health. Deny ourselves and follow Him. That's for our sake to go to heaven. If you've sinned and you need help and you need the brethren to pray with you and for you, those of us members of the church, do that